Okay, so before we start, I want to thank... Ready to start? Yeah. Okay, before we start, I just want to thank the Cherniaks. It's very, very special that you're having our learning of Chinuch Habanim together. And also, I just think it's amazing that couples take time from a Thursday night to spend time thinking about Chinuch Habanim. And one of the themes that we're going to develop is awareness is something that's so important in life. And the fact that we're spending time together talking about child rearing, I think is a tremendous, you could argue even skula, but I would argue in very, very practical terms, the desire to have an awareness and to grow together, and I emphasize growing together, is something that's critical in terms of being effective parents. The moment that we realize that we need hadracha is the moment in which we could really, really, really grow. That being said, I also need hadracha. What I mean by that is a few things. First of all, I'm a parent and as a work in progress myself, and I don't claim to have all of the answers. I don't claim to have the answers. What I do have is a few more years of life experience that you have, and I had great rabbeim. Those are the two things, those are two things that I try to bring here on Thursday nights in regards to Chinuch Habanim. But at the same time, your feedback is very, very valuable. You could decide based on dynamic of shiur whether you want to ask during the shiur questions or wait till afterwards. But as in the past, these shiurim went on for about 6 or 7 sessions. As it goes on, you're going to say, wait a second, you know, Rebbe, you've been speaking about A, B, and C, but you haven't spoken at all about X, Y, and Z. Or you also might say, you know what? There's something that you said that really doesn't sit right with me. I'm looking at the women's side. The women have a Bina Yisera. If there's something that doesn't sit right, I want to hear about it. In other words, there's something that you feel that, and this applies to the men as well. I'll fight with the men in the Beis Medrash a little bit about it, but at the end of the day, if there are things that you feel that need to be readdressed or you see it differently, I definitely want to have your feedback as well. So the first shiur, we tried to discuss a little bit for about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, maybe even less. The first shiur, I think, is even shorter. It's just describing what is chinuch. And just an introduction of what we're doing as parents, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us this tremendous, tremendous gift, this tremendous pikadon that he's given us to be mechanech. So let's see first, this as an introduction, we're not going to do too much Tanakh, but just as an introduction, how the word chinuch is used in Tanakh to be an entree to an appropriate introduction of what we're trying to do. So in Perek Zayin, in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Nasa, which actually, amazingly, these psukim apply right now, because Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan, starting from Chav Gimel Adar, concluded Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then the Nesiim began to, then and Aaron began to do all the things that they did, and we are now, tonight is Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Isn't that amazing? So, in Pasuk, I just realized it tonight as I was looking over the Makoros. It's absolutely awesome. So, what's referred to as Chanukas HaMishkan, in the beginning of Perek Zayin, is Vayhi B'yom Kalos Moshe. That's today. I can't get over this. V'hakim es HaMishkan, V'yimshech Oso V'yikadesh Oso V'eskol Kelov, V'esam Esbech V'eskol Kelov, V'yimshechem V'yikadesh Osam. And Moshe Rabbeinu sanctified them. So, what Chazal referred to as chinuch, in the Torah is referred to as likadesh. Now, we know that the word kuf, dalet shin, in biblical Hebrew, we translate as holy. But likadesh means to designate. And as we're going to see, the word chinuch, which also refers to designate, is the source of all Kedusha. In other words, what we have right here in this room, in this special child, is the phenomenon of parents introducing Kedusha to a child, and that is what Chinuch is all about. Chinuch is, as we will see in a moment in Rashi, is the way in which we form a life of Kedusha. Hence, Vayikadesh Osam, the first usages of the Kelim in the Mishkan, is what sanctifies them. Now let's take a look. That's in regards to the Torah's description of Chanukas HaMishkan. Let's now see that this is very similar to what Rashi uses in his description of Chinuch. The Torah describes that Avram Avinu took Chanichov. So that's upstairs on the top of the second page. And there Rashi says, what does that mean? Ze Eliezer, it's the second entry on the second page. Shechincho, it refers to Eliezer. Shechinech lemitzvahs. Vuhu loshon haschalas knisas adam o kli lu'umnis shu asid lamodvan. Let's read those words of Rashi very, very, very carefully. The role of chinuch is, as Rashi describes, entering a person or a utensil into its purpose, shu asid lamod ba, in fulfilling its tafkid, its role. Now, this is something that's very, 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 very important. A job of a parent is not to make a person. There are many, many other variables that go into that. Chinuch is trying to introduce a person so that they'll be able, lamod ba, they'll be able to stand to life's challenges. To give them as much as we can, and the emphasis over here is as much as we can. There are things that we can't do. Sometimes we as parents get extremely frustrated that there are things that we can't do. Every single one of my children, Baruch Hashem, my four children, are beautiful and are extremely talented, but every single one of them has challenges. And there are times that what a parent does is they just want to take away those challenges. And you know what? As much as we're going to try, we can't. So what is chinuch? Chinuch is to give them the tools, lamod ba, that they're able to stand up despite their challenges, with their challenges. And we're going to talk about that later on as well. So now, let's notice, Chanukas HaMishkan is described as Vayikadesh is introducing Kedusha to the utensil, or as Rashi says, the utensil or the person, used interchangeably. And that Kedusha, what is that Kedusha? That Kedusha is a parent ushering a child, knisas ha'adam, ushering the child, not making a life for them. I can't control, that's an important word, I can't control what type of person my child is going to be when they're 40 years old. But what I can do is usher them into certain stages of life. And then there's going to come a certain point, adolescence, and then when their spouse comes along, where I'm going to slowly have to let go. Lamod ba, that they're going to be able to stand on their own. So that's what chinuch is all about. Chinuch is all about being able to help a child and usher them into these beautiful stages, these beautiful developmental stages of life. Now there are two ways in which we do it. One of them has become extremely, extremely popular, and Rav Volbi changed the world of Jewish chinuch by pointing out that not only is it popular in modern psychology, but it's absolutely critical in Avodas Hashem as well. And the world of Jewish chinuch has been entirely changed with Rav Volbi's book called Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch. We're going to be using that. That is going to be our text almost for these shiurim, but we're going to supplement them with works of psychology as well. In Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch, Rav Volbi points out that Zriya, planting, is the most important part in being mechanech, in ushering and forming and educating our children. Even though I'd like to add that in the secular world, Zriya has become so big, they've denied the role of Binyan, and we're going to discuss that both are integral parts. But unfortunately, there was a time that many parents were doing too much Binyan and not enough Zriya. So let's talk a little bit and define what those two words, planting and building, what they mean. Says Rav Volbi, page Tet in the old edition of Zriel Binyan Bechinuch. B'tfilat Amida Anam Mevarchim Shtei Brachot B'in Yerushalayim. There are two brachos about Yerushalayim. Bonei Yerushalayim U'matzmiach Keren Yeshua. Ha'achat Shehashem Bonei Yerushalayim V'ashniyashu Hashem Matzmiach Et HaMashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds Yerushalayim and He causes the sprouting of Mashiach. Smicha u'binyan elu shtei pulot shonot. Smicha yi talich tivi ba'olam hazeh. Planting the sprouting mashinizra ba'adam atzomeach ma'atzmo. Binyan hu davar she'adam oseh. When it comes to planting, the plant actually grows by itself. We create, and note, mark my words, these are really, really important words. We create the necessary environment around the plant. We don't cause the plant to grow. We give the plant sun, we give it water, but there's nothing that we do directly to the roots or to the trunk of the plant itself. We create the appropriate environment. Binyan hu davar she'adam eiseh maniach yesod v'achakach maniach nidbach agabi nidbach ad shehabayit muchan. But when it comes to building, we do something very different. When we build, is we take bricks and we pile one on the next. Let's look back at the Lashon of Rashi again. Let's think back to what Rashi says. Rashi says that we are being mechanich. What we pointed out is the definition of Kedusha, creating Kedusha, designating a child in a particular direction, in a way that they're osid lamod ba, that they're ultimately going to be able to stand. We are not making them stand. But rather what we are, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is who does that. But what do? We create the environment around them that they could thrive and be the best that they could possibly be. And that is the most important part of Chinuch. And that is Chinuch of Zriah. Take a look at page Yud Aleph, planting. Al derech zo navin et inyan hatzmicha v'abinyan b'chinuch yiladeinu. Im rotzim sheyeled yitzmach liyehudi halomed Torah u'mitzvot, tzrichim lizroa bo et hazera shel Torah. This doesn't only apply to becoming a successful 40-year-old in earning a living, but it applies in Torah as well. And Rav Volbi points out that we do Zriya, creating environment for a child in introducing them to the beauty and the warmth of Torah by surrounding them with that environment. Not necessarily instructing them. A lot of times parents spend way too much time instructing and commanding as opposed to creating the environment for their children. Rabosa, you know what the most important ingredient that I've seen, and I've been zocha to learn with Talmidim who are 19, 20, here in the Kola a little bit, and Baruch Hashem been doing it for a few years, and I now have 10 years of teaching here in Arzeinu HaKadosha, and seeing Talmidim, in other words, my first Talmidim are now already 30 years old, and my Talmidim from the Grus Kolel are now 35, 36 years old. The most important variable that I've noticed in them and in their children of whether a young man grows up and accomplishes in Torah, what's the most important variable in his parents' home? You know what the most important variable is? It's not whether the father is a Talmud Chacham. The most important variable is whether their parents were Mokir, Rabbanan, and loved Torah. There are many Talmidim that I've seen whose parents were big Talmidei Chachamim or their mothers were very important teachers, very, very prominent people in the Jewish community and sagacious. But at the same time, the kids who got the environment of Avas HaTorah, that's the most important thing. That's the Zriah. The Zriah is something in which instruction, sitting and learning with your child, is a lot less important than showing them that you love and appreciate Torah. Because if everything else works well that we're going to discuss as time goes on, if we imbue to our children positive messages that we're going to discuss, eventually what we value is naturally going to be what they value. And what's important to us is going to become important to them. And therefore, if there was a father or mother or both who didn't have the opportunity to learn in yeshiva, but they loved Torah and they respected a rav, then ultimately their children absorb that. That's Zriya. The binyan is a lot less important. Now, that's not to say, says Rav Volbi, that there aren't things that we do that are binyan. So for example, he says, we train a child, we sing songs with them, we say, we teach them words of Torah, we teach them words of Kriya Shema, or we say them even around them. And then there's a certain binyan, there's a certain building that takes place, aside from the Zriya around them, that we're singing songs, we say Shema with them. There are certain things, Ben Chamesh L'Mikra, Rav Volbi goes on, Ben Eser L'Mishnah, Ben Chamesh Esrei L'Gemara. There are certain things in a child's intellectual development that we build. It's true, we do build. We don't run away from building. But at the same time, what we're arguing is that the Zriya is going to be the most important. Now, once we've internalized this, let's follow our progression over here. Kedusha is chinuch, which is the way in which a child is osid lamod ba. That's step number one that we started with. And we pointed out that the most critical step of osid lamod ba, the most critical step of osid lamod ba, is the zriya, not the binyan. Now let's go to the psychologists. Sarah Radcliffe, who's has an excellent book on parenting, points out that the most important, page number 5, we're going to come back to this this book often, about the 5th or 6th line on page number 5 in your photocopy, she writes, the most important focus in parenting is on strengthening the warm feelings between parent and child. Now you know and I know that at times when our parents failed, none of our parents here were perfect. I haven't met a perfect parent yet. Which, by the way, is comforting. And that is that every once in a while, it's okay for us to make a mistake. We'll get to that as time goes on. Every single one of us can remember times where our parents failed in binyan. They pushed too much, or they didn't push enough. By the way, some parents that push don't push enough as well. There are many more parents who push too much. But both extremes exist. But how many times do parents who focus on creating warmth between them and their child, how easy is it for them to succeed? And how hard is it for them to fail? If the focus is about creating that environment, that zriya, the environment around the child, so then, unless the parent makes awful mistakes, then that is something that's easy if we set our mind to do. And that is the strengthening the warm feelings between parent and child. And then Radcliffe goes on and makes a very, 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 very powerful point. And she says that there are two things, two lists about parenting. And you know, when I was putting the shiur together a few years ago, I was unsure whether to start off the first shiur about this. And the more and more I've gone on, the more and more I've realized that this is important. And she has two lists over here, page number 5 and page number 6. And that is what you can do in parenting and what you can't do in parenting. Many parenting mistakes are made when fathers and mothers try to do things in parenting that they can't do. What we can do is create that warmth. What we can do is create that beauty of Torah around the child. But there are certain things that we can't do. So let's see her list. She's not going to use Revolvi's words, but let's see her words. You can treat your children with respect even when you're stressed. You can react gently and patiently to their mistakes. Skipping down, I'm not going to read all of them. Of course, you can go home and read them. You can expose them to your values and beliefs. It is an important one, the last one on the page. You can model behaviors. That's really, really important. Again, notice, this is what Rav Volbi referred to as Zriya. Skip all the way down. All these are great. But another one, number four from the end. This is why we do Shalom Bayis before Chinuch Habanim. You can work on your marriage. Rabosai, how many of the issues that we see in children today are because the homes that they grew up in were homes that weren't a healthy environment in Zriya. So the first step for Chinuch Habanim is Shalom Bayis. That's the first step. That's step number one. And she concludes, even though she does not advertise her book as being a religious Jew, it happens to be that she is, she concludes, you can pray for your children's well-being and success. Ma'ish Eschayel emphasizes tremendously. At the end of the day, you know, I'm concerned about something with a child, and sometimes even me, who I pride myself on being religious, and sometimes I have to admit, it grates on my ears sometimes. Every once in a while, my wife will say, we'll conclude the conversation, and we have to daven. I was like, of course we have to daven. But I was talking, let's, you know, she says, no, but that's, without davening, then it's, and so she needs to, my wife is mechazik this all the time, and it's true, you can pray for your children's well-being and success, and that's something that at the time, when we sit down, and when we talk about in Yad Mechinuch, that Radcliffe is correct as well. At the end of the day, tefillah is an important chelik, and there's nothing wrong when we're having an intellectual conversation to remind ourselves, to mechazik ourselves of how important tefillah is. Nachzor l'inyaneinu, she goes on and she says, but there are things that you can't do in parenting. And Rabosai, this is the part that's really, really, really important. You can't ensure that your children will be happy. She says some scary things over here. You can't ensure that your children will be mentally well. You can't ensure that your children will be physically well. This is a big one. In America, this is a big challenge. You can't ensure that your children will have a desirable career. Now, parents that are obsessed with binyan and focus too much on binyan, I don't think they've internalized many of these things. Because you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to build a child the way an architect, the way a builder builds a house. And a builder could build a house any way they want, provided that they have the materials. And a parent, some parents look at the children and say, I've got a smart kid, a good-looking kid, and therefore I could build them as such and such. And what they do then is instead of creating the environment around them, forming the zriya around them, where those talents and those strengths could flourish, in the end they destroy them because they tried to build them. Now let's advance Rav Volbe's mashal. We're going to use Rav Volbe's mashal in very, very hard, pragmatic metaphorical way. We're going to talk a lot about a plant. The most important thing that we could give a child as a plant is the sun. And as I wrote on the title page, the greatest thing that a parents could set their mind to do, that every single one of us wants to do, and we need to be mechazik ourselves, that's the most important thing that we can do for a child, is give love to children like sun is to a plant. That's the most important variable. Maybe we'll find what the metaphor of water is, what the metaphor of earth is, but there's no question that the metaphor of the sun in Rav Volbe's mashal is love. Take a look at the book Preparing Your Child for Success, Rabbi Greenwald, page number 14. Next page. In the italics, he quotes a story about Rav Moshe Feinstein, an amazing thing from one of Rav Moshe's sons. Now remember, Rav Moshe Feinstein was an extremely, extremely busy man. I remember reading in his biography that Rav Moshe used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I know this as being a Rebbe, who's 1/1,000,000,000th of Rav Moshe, that every once in a while you were so busy the night before, and then you have a shiur to say the next day. So Rav Moshe used to wake up for his shiur klali that he would say on Friday. He used to wake up at 4 in the morning to prepare for it. I don't know if he had time during the rest of the week. They say Rav Moshe kept up with the daf yomi, just anecdotally, that he didn't have time during the week. But he did the seven daf of the week on Shabbos. That's when he had time on Sunday. So Rav Moshe's week was very, 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 very busy. Now just imagine this. Rav Moshe hasn't had he's had three chasanas the night before. Menachem Begin visited that day. And he's waking up 4 in the morning and he's got shir to prepare. And all Gedolei Torah, no matter what geniuses they were, they all prepared before they said shir. Says Reb Ruvain, one of Reb Moshe's sons, I'm not sure if it's Reb Ruvain or Reb David, he says he knew that his father always loved him because of two reasons. And just notice the examples that he picked. He says, number one, he said that when he woke up in the morning, again, visualize this 4 in the morning where Reb Moshe's gotten up after a couple of hours of sleep. He says, whenever it was cold outside in New York, Reb Moshe would take his socks, his son's socks, and put on the radiator when he woke up. That's amazing. It's amazing. I think of how I don't do that. And Baruch Hashem, I think I'm a good father. But that's something that's amazing. Reb Moshe found, you know, something that wasn't going to take too much time. But the godless was, he was able to think about that in 4 in the morning. Right after he said Birchas HaTorah. With all of the pressure and all the responsibilities. The second thing, his son said, was that when they sat at a meal, there were a lot of important people that sat at Reb Moshe Feinstein's table, and I highly recommend this, Amir Tzashem, when your children are older, and that is his boys always sat right next to him. Good. There's nothing wrong also with the girls too. A lot of times the girls end up sitting next to their mother, but it's fine, the girls too as well. And if anybody complains about mixed seating, you can speak to me and we'll work out, we'll discuss it with them. But at the end of the day, he pointed out that feeling of closeness to his father, these were very, very subtle things. Notice here, the amazing part about this is it's much more about thinking and awareness than it is about investing a tremendous amount of time. The parent that has that thoughtfulness could convey that love without expending that much time. Now, parenting does require a tremendous amount of time. I just spoke today to a parent who's doing a lot of amazing things for Klal Yisrael. I said, amazing. I encouraged him more and more and more. Do more and more and more. B'tnai yechad. You have to promise me that it's not coming at the expense of your children. So parenting does require time for children, but people who have that chachma, they have that sense to be able to create that closeness even when they're very, very busy people. What was Reb Moshe doing? Reb Moshe didn't do very much binyan. In my sense of reading his biography, I don't even think that Reb Moshe did that much binyan. He did the necessary binyan. But what Reb Moshe did a lot of zriah. And it's interesting, anybody who's familiar with his two sons, they're both giants in Torah, but they're both very, very, very different. He didn't try to mold them in one particular direction. Each one of them became giants in their own. Let's take a look back to Sarah Radcliffe. Page number 13. The title of the chapter, as you can see, is Love. It's all in the ratio. Here you see that she sneaks in Revolbi without mentioning Revolbi's name in this book in psychology. Although a parent cannot make a relationship all alone, a parent can do those things that typically create the soil in which a positive relationship can grow. So a parent creates that soil. The only thing I would add is I have a slight machlokus with her then. I hold that love, which is this paragraph, love, it's all in the ratio, I hold that love is really the sun, not the soil, but that's a technical machlokus between her and I. At the end of the day, it's really, really about that environment. Okay, you'll say to me, Rebbe, all right, all this was important, I'm maskim, etc., but how does this apply practically? So first of all, the first practical application to it is thought. Seeing how Reb Moshe Feinstein had that thoughtfulness and spent time in thinking about how he'd be able to convey love and caring to his children. That's number one. And number two, here we get to one of the most important parenting rules. And anybody who's been a parent knows that in our successes and our failures, that this is one of the most important rules that a person could possibly have. Do anybody have coins over here? I want to dramatize this. I need 4 coins. I don't think I have it. Shekach. Wow, that's good currency. All right. Okay. 24, 16. One more. I'll take one more. Oh, I have to remember. Okay, this is 32. Okay. Very good. Yeah, Shekach. Okay. Here we go. Here's the challenge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, Sarah Radcliffe argues, parents 5 coins. In those 5 coins, are their interactions with their children. In that interaction, in that set of interaction with their children, they have 5 opportunities. One of them could be a negative interaction. Negative in the sense that Chaim, it's important for you not to interrupt people when they speak. That's been spent. And then you have 4 other positive interactions. The 80-20 rule. For every 1 negative interaction, you need 4 positive ones. Very easy to say, it's not easy to do. And what Radcliffe is doing by putting this into the paragraph, love, it's all in the ratio, what she's doing is she's saying that at the end of the day, love is reflected not only in the way Ramesha Feinstein described it, but people perceive love in positive interactions, and they find it difficult to appreciate love in negative interactions, even if it's coming from a loving place. And that is absolutely, absolutely critical. And Radcliffe then adds that loving positive interactions, a lot of times these coins are not verbal expressions. But what's going on, it could also be expressed in physical expression. We're going to talk about this a lot. For us who are getting older, I'm Baruch Hashem 40, and I have a child who's 6 years old. And I found that as I get older, it becomes more and more of a challenge for a parent to maintain a closeness with their child when the parents tend to get older. And the reason for that is that there's something about life's responsibilities that as you get older. When I was in Washington Heights and 25 years old, I was on the floor all the time playing with my kids. And now I have to force myself. And I love it. But just not natural. I don't have as many opportunities. I'm not 25 anymore. I miss it. But it's something that if a parent doesn't spend time thinking about, then ultimately there is a certain closeness that could be lost. You know, the connotation of a ben zikunim is that there's a certain, almost like a distance between the father and a generation gap. And it's not only a generation gap in terms of years and mindset, but it's also in terms of physical closeness. And so therefore, these coins, here we have 4 tens and 1 2. So these 4 are positive interactions, especially at this age, Baruch Hashem. But even as the children get older, so the positive interactions also include a hug and a kiss and so on and so forth. As years have gone on, I try when I come home to kiss the children. That could go very, very, very far. That could go very, very, very far. It's not easy. Because you know what happens? Sometimes these little kids, not at this age, but when they're 4 or 5 years old, I remember that was still when I was in Washington Heights, walking into the Beis Medrash, and I'm saying, oh my, do I need hadracha? I was so lost, I was so confused. Parenting is really scary, it's daunting. And sometimes we have, Baruch Hashem, kids, some of my children really, really acted out. And then I already have this one gone, and I can't find any excuse for these 4 positives. And I wish I had Sarah Radcliffe that came along and told me, that's it, You know what? You spent it. You had to spend it because your son took a shoe and threw it out of the sixth floor of the building in 90 Laurel Hill. I didn't make that up. And so I've spent that. I spent that one. And now, okay, if he throws out another shoe, you have to talk to your Rebbe whether you should say anything else to him. Maybe it's dafka time that the child needs a kiss. By the way, this boy now learns 15 hours a day. He has fantastic midos. I'm no gea bedover. But I was, and I was no gea bedover then too. So at the end of the day, that's something that requires a tremendous amount of forethought. And the moment the parent begins to give them all these negative responses, so then how's the child going to feel the love? When the father and mother catch themselves, when they put him to sleep, and they realize that he's not such a bad kid after all, and then when they give them a kiss before he says Shema or he doesn't say Shema, it doesn't make a difference. The messages have already been sent, and sometimes it's harder. It's a lot harder to fix afterwards. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, to be able to really, really internalize this, the 80-20 rule, which is all about projecting that, the son, projecting that love. Now, I've decided that this is so moving, the last two pages from, his name over here is Dr. Jerry Loeb. He's a musmach, I think, I met him once. He's a very, very special psychologist. He has a father's Kabbalah. Now, if you sit and read this slowly, it's very, very, very emotional. Every once in a while, when I read some of these, I begin to cry. A father's Kabbalah. But what I'm going to do is at the end of every single one of these classes is check off a couple of them that are related to the shiur that we spoke about. This is, if you will, a checklist, a beautiful poetic checklist for a father. So if you go to the second page is actually more relevant than the first page. I highly recommend that you go through this at some time, all of them. But I checked off some that are on the second page. I will remember that no matter your age, you still look to me as I look to my father, and what is important is not so much the information that I imparted to you, but who I am to you. The father that is interested in and emphasizes imparting information is the father who is doing too much binyan. And it's who we are as people that is the most important thing to our children. And if you think about it, who our fathers are is the most important thing of what type of person they are to us. Skipping down one, I will laugh more. I will be on the lookout to laugh more with you. At times, I will try to laugh at myself. It's extremely, extremely important of creating an environment, a zriya of environment of laughing, of warmth, and the ability even to laugh at ourselves. I complained to David that I brought the kids to Purim Shmuel and he didn't make fun of me. The kids wanted to laugh at me, and I wanted to laugh at myself with them. I'll remember the sparkle in my father's eyes when he saw me or introduced me to others. The sparkle that spoke more eloquently than words of his pride. And I will sparkle for you. To take, when children feel, when you feel pride of their, and I'm not going to use the word accomplishments, that's the word that people often use. Take pride and happiness and joy in who they are. That is one of the most special things that children could feel. Again, that's the Zriya. I'll play more with you. I'll give you your own time with me every day, even if only for a few minutes. That's extremely, extremely important, which we're going to spend time on, and that is spending time with each child. And parents don't do that enough. I'll be determined to be proud of you. I will see your inner beauty, not your grades or how you look, but your neshama. Now, what's going on? When parents focus on their children's grades or how they look, what are they so shallow? Now the answer is no. These parents are not shallow. These parents have a distorted perspective of how to parent those things that are important. Yes, looks are important in this world, And grades are important. It's true. It's not the most important thing, but they are important. But what these parents are trying to do when they're focusing on that is they're focusing on binyan. They're focusing on building their child, they build their child that they can get certain grades. But what we're doing is we're being zoreya a neshama. But your neshama, your kindness, your unique strengths, skills, and talents. And that is the most important thing. And we see this in life all the time, time and time after time. We see when it comes to children, the children that are most successful are the ones that are the most emotionally healthy and not the brightest. I had a boy sitting with me until 1:30 in the morning last night. A brilliant boy, but handicapped emotionally. And that makes every part in life so much more of a greater challenge. The fact that he's brilliant is not going to make much of a difference if he doesn't overcome now those emotional handicaps, and part of it relates to his interaction with his parents. And so therefore, if we're able to focus on those strengths, on those skills, on their beautiful neshama, as opposed to trying to mold them in a particular way, they're going to end up in a much better place. And of course, in regards to Bruchnius, he concludes, I will attempt to bring more joy into Shabbos and Yom Tov and to Yiddishkeit. Now this is amazing. And that is, the more simcha we have in Avodas Hashem, the better our children's Avodas Hashem is going to be. And that's a corollary to the, as much as we work on our marriages and Shalom Bayis, the happier and healthier emotionally our children will be. The same thing as far as Avodas Hashem. And there's very little binyan that one needs to do as far as that's concerned. You know, to impart ruchnius to our children is to impart ruchnius to ourselves. If we're imparting ruchnius to ourselves, then our children will get that ruchnius. Bezer Hashem, we should be zocha to take the appropriate first steps to create the child that's a child that's osiv lamod ba, to prepare them with the appropriate chinuch of kedusha, and we should be mechazik ourselves that we should project that love that's theoretical. The love that's something that's very, very internal. It's just something that's very, very deep inside. But it's also something that's very, very practical. And love is translated in very, very practical terms. The 80-20 is a very, very, very practical application of it. The love is also translated in the avira, the environment that we create in the house. Bezer Hashem, we should be able to do that. And we'll raise a Dor Yisharim together.